Hi and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-errorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast consists of audio blogs which have been published on our website. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? The US Forest Service, USFS, operates in a highly dynamic and high-risk environment. Changes can happen which can have catastrophic circumstances if they are not picked up. Unfortunately, sometimes things do go wrong and firefighters die or large amounts of property is lost. However, the USFS recognises that failure is a learning opportunity irrespective of what the outcome was. They also believe that exactly the same circumstances are unlikely to appear again, so fixing that exact same problem will have limited impact on operations. However, there are probably other gaps in their safety protocols that need to be identified and fixed, and that is the purpose of a learning review. Given that we have so many similar accidents, I believe that the same learning from failure mindset should be developed within the diving community. That was the motivation for this podcast. The US Forest Service published a document in 2014 outlining how they undertake learning reviews. This followed a massive failure of a serious accident inquiry, where learning was limited. That process was a total failure and set a new low bar for learning opportunities following serious accidents. The USFS prohibited their employees that had specific knowledge about the fire from being interviewed. A revision of their 2014 learning review process is due shortly, but I thought it an ideal point to identify how this organization deals with risk in a very dynamic environment, how they learn from failure and successes, and see what the diving community and training organizations can learn from them. Accident prevention is the key objective of any incident study, according to the USFS. Furthermore, to help improve honesty and frankness, the chief of the USFS has openly stated that information derived from any learning review will only be used by the agency for accident prevention purposes. This means that the learning review, as delivered under a formal USFS protocol, will not be used as the basis for disciplinary action or to place blame on employees. Products and information that were the result of the learning review will not be used for administrative, disciplinary, or legal purposes by the USFS. This last point is a key statement when it comes to learning and is entrenched in many nations' legislature when it comes to aviation safety. However, too often in the diving community, the fear of litigation or social castigation means that learning is limited to a few individuals who often are not allowed to share the context or real story about what happened. This limits the opportunity to prevent similar events from occurring in disparate locations or communities. So what is a learning review and how does it apply to the diving community? The learning review follows a number of discrete steps with the aim to understand A, what happened, the events, B, the decisions that were made or the behaviours exhibited and why they made sense to those involved at the time, mindset, and C, the operational drivers or environment which encouraged those decisions to be made, context. However, before we examine the review in more detail, it is worth understanding the entering arguments or principles on which a USFS learning review is undertaken. These are: Forest Service employees are well-intentioned and work within organizational systems to meet the expectations of leadership, and the system are well-intentioned and work within organizational systems to meet the expectations of leadership and the system. Accidents and incidents can be a byproduct of complex systems alone. Enhanced accountability. 1. Prior to incidents, leaders and managers are responsible for knowing how the organization functions with regard to accountability and with respect to normal work. Traditional accountability is in place. 2. After the incident, the organization is accountable to learn from the event. Coordination is critical to meet the intent of the investigation while minimizing trauma to personnel. Actions and decisions are consequences, not causes. The goal is to understand why actions or decisions made sense to those involved at the time. Conditions shape decisions and actions. Revealing these conditions will aid the agency and agency personnel in understanding how to recognize change and react to conditional pressures. If we now consider each of these principles and see where the diving community as a whole lies. The diving community are in the main aligned with this. There are very few divers, instructors, or dive center owners who are malicious or vindictive to the level that injury or death is an acceptable outcome. Most of the time, they are operating within the boundaries of normal life pressures. Time, money, resources, reducing numbers of divers, or the fear of failing. And as such, their decisions make sense. There is always a trade-off between efficiency and thoroughness, and it is only when something goes wrong do we assess that the balance was placed in the wrong direction. This concept is based on the fact that multiple items can be serviceable or work to specification, but their interactions mean that accidents happen. A case in point would be the recent fatality in a cave system in Mexico where team markers are used because of the numbers of divers who can use the same system at the same time. This could mean having 15 to 20 cookies placed at a junction instead of 4 to 5. However, if the team gets separated during the dive, confusion can be caused, confusion which can lead to a fatality. 1. Diving organizations and centers have rules and processes in place. Sometimes these are in conflict with daily operations, but it is the frontline teams who need to manage these conflicts, for example, numbers of divers in the water with an instructor or dive master when environmental conditions are not optimal, or an instructor needs to finish a class with one set of students because another class is starting the following day, and there is no fat in the system to deal with contingencies. 2. From what you would glean from social media and the limited changes which occur, much of the work after an event is about limiting liability and preventing litigation and transferring the risk to individuals, diver or instructor, rather than identify systemic faults that need to be addressed. A lack of robust and context-rich data does not help this process. This is about minimizing the number of times individuals have to be interviewed by different agencies. I have no experience of how this works in the community. This is an area in which the diving community could really learn. The decisions we make are products of our experiences combined with the operational environment we are in. Money shapes our decision making. We won't spend as much to service equipment if things have been okay in the past. Time shapes our decision making, leading us to take more risks when time is limited. Peer pressure, active or inferred, means that we often make suboptimal decisions, the gap really only being identified after the event, the learning review. The process the USFS uses follows a couple of simple concepts. Split the learning from the fixing. The learning should not just focus on the incident outcome, but rather how work is done normally and where the gaps are. The time taken to do the learning should take more time than the fixing. It is unlikely you can fix the specific case for which the learning review was convened for, but you will be able to fix other gaps identified in the process. The following is a summary of the USFS and work by Todd Conklin, who has developed a concept called learning teams to do the same in non-firefighting scenarios. Start in learning mode. Start to understand the context in which the event took place. Because events don't take place in isolation, there are always external pressures, drivers, biases, previous experiences, etc., which inform future decisions or behaviors. The learning mode is not about root cause or blaming people, things, or systems. It is about telling stories. Dave Woods, a world expert in this area, sums it up nicely. Don't look at the choices which workers have to make differently. Look at the conditions which create operational conflict. Start creating the story. There is a need to recognize that there is no ground truth when it comes to those involved. Everyone will have a different perspective and everyone's view is valid. Once the story has been told with all of the relevant information from those involved, we have a better idea of why it made sense for everyone to do what they did. This storytelling needs to consider the timeline of events, the mindset of those involved, and the context in which they were operating. Drawing a simple timeline can help identify when decision points are made for normal work. Identifying the pressures and context in normal work can identify gaps where safety measures are being missed, and identifying previous experiences, positive and negative, in similar circumstances can mean that cognitive failures or biases are identified. All of this leads to a context-rich story. Soak time. An additional point which Todd Conklin highlights is the need to have a break between learning and fixing. This break has two benefits. The first is that it allows people to use the part of their brain which is creative. This is normally activated during quiet periods, especially during sleep. Indeed, there is research which highlights that many ideas come to people while standing in the shower because their brain is doing something else. The other is that it forces a natural break between learning and fixing, thereby keeping people away from coming up with solutions to the problems being discussed. Start the fixing. The fixing needs to start with a recap of what happened, in effect fixing the story to a recognized common truth. It doesn't mean it will be totally true, but it is essential that everyone understand the baseline from which the adverse event occurred, then identify if anyone is missing from the discussion when it comes to coming up with solutions. For most diving operations, it will be those directly involved and maybe the immediate supervisors or instructors. At this point, there is a need to define what the should have done is. Not because we can say they broke the rules, but because we can see where the gaps between normal and actually done is. It often highlights areas where normalization of deviation has occurred. The best suggestions for fixes come from the sharp end. They are the people who are doing the work, managing the risk as best they can, given the pressures and drivers in place. They are the ones managing the shortcuts and understand what is forcing them to take the shortcut. Fix the reason for the shortcut, not the behavior. It will have much longer lasting effects. Finally, it isn't just about fixing broken stuff. Often learning reviews identify opportunities for improvement in areas where failure has yet to happen. Communicate the fixes. Once the fixes have been decided, communicate them to the organization. Transferring learning reviews to diving. Okay, so we have learned about how the USFS goes about making their dangerous job as safe as possible. How do we apply this to diving? For the majority of diving incidents where nothing seriously goes wrong, a structured learning review is overkill, but the concepts behind it are valid. Divers are trying to do the best they can with the drivers, biases, and experience they have. It makes sense to divers and instructors to do what they did, therefore there is a need to understand, not judge, that what they did was wrong. Identify what the gap between normal and what should be done is and why it is there. Once the gaps are identified through storytelling, then we can try to fix the system, not blame the individual for trying to follow a flawed system. Learning from incidents should be about fixing the broken stuff and making the current processes better, not just blaming divers for being stupid and that they should have known better. For those in diving organizations, dive centers, or training agencies, a learning review will help identify gaps and, using the experience of the team, identify ways of making things better. If the focus is on shifting the blame or limiting liability, then learning will be extremely limited. If there is a recognition that failure is normal, that there is a want and a need to get better, learning reviews are an excellent tool. I know of one community which has started debriefing their dives in detail following training on human factors and debriefing skills, and they have noticed that team members often jump to the solution space before having a complete understanding of the context, mindset, and events. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, the book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we have published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.